Welcome to Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany is an exciting day. Who knows what an epiphany is? Jean's going to tell. What's an epiphany, Jean?
A manifestation.
A manifestation. That's right. Something that was hidden becomes revealed. It becomes manifest so that everybody can see it. Now, imagine a young couple, their boyfriend and girlfriend, and they're dating for a while, and they enjoy each other, they're having fun, but they don't talk about their feelings much. They keep those things secret and hidden. But then one day, the guy is thinking, wow, I really like this girl, and I can't imagine living without her. So one day he looks her in the eye, and he says, I love you. And out of his pocket, he pulls an engagement ring. That is an epiphany. That which was hidden has been revealed. That which is secret is now in the light. And so we celebrate Epiphany with a number of wonderful sacramentals, we call them. Places that we can actually use, things of earth that we can use as points of contact for our faith to reach out to God. Now we all know that all sacraments and sacramentals are based upon the incarnation of Jesus. God gave himself to mankind through the stuff of earth, through human flesh and bone. And so a sacramental is like water. And y'all got sprinkled with water this morning because that's one of the great sacramentals of Epiphany. And through this water, we were reminded of our baptism and we reminded how God has washed us and cleansed us. And so in faith, we reach out to God in thanksgiving that he has made his salvation known to us, and particularly through the waters of the sacrament of baptism. Well, the story of the boy and the girl, the love that was kept hidden, secret, is not unlike the story of the Old Testament, is it? Throughout the Old Testament, and even before the Old Testament was written, God's love poured his love for all mankind, but man didn't know that. Man didn't have sufficient understanding of God to realize that God loved all mankind. And so God, in his wisdom, determined to send to earth, to all mankind, the perfect revelation of his love, and that was Jesus. But to do that, he had to prepare a nation, prepare a people to be the host place, the home of that perfect revelation of his love. And so he chose the nation of Israel, a small and insignificant nation, but he loved them and he poured his love out to them, from Abraham's renunciation of idolatry to Moses and the experience of the Exodus, the giving of the law to create a culture of God somewhere in the earth for his revelation to be born. Through the kingship of David and the wisdom of Solomon and the cry of the prophets, God's word continued to be poured forth into this people so they would be ready to receive the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who is going to be the perfect revelation of God's love. But one mistake that the nation Israel made was that they perceived that God was their God. He is our God and no one else's. Even though throughout the Psalms and throughout the cries of the prophets, God continues to say that he is the God of the entire earth, they kept it a secret. The love of God they held secret. But when the love became revealed, God spoke even to people from far away through the message of a star, so that all mankind would understand that God is God of all the earth and that he loves mankind, his creatures. So the Magi, they travel from a far place, we don't know exactly where, because they have heard God's message and they know that his anointed one has come to earth. Now, who were these Magi? We really don't know a lot about them. The Bible doesn't give us a great deal of information. There are a number of traditions about the Magi. In fact, there's a town in Turkey that is actually, the BBC just ran an article about this little town in Turkey who claimed that the Magi traveled through their village on their way to see the Christ child. And they say there were 12 Magi, and they actually list in ancient documents that list the names of 11. Now, we always think of there are three Magi, right? And we've got their names, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. But in this little village in what had been Persia, they had this tradition that the wise men, the 12 wise men, passed through their village. The Bible doesn't tell us how many wise men there were, or where they came from, or what villages they passed through. But we always have a tradition of three wise men because there were three gifts. So in art, it works well. You've got three gifts, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, so you better have three guys to carry them. So many of our traditions are based upon art. Have you noticed that? That we have a little snippet in the Bible, but then artists make something out of it, and that becomes part of our tradition. But they brought these three gifts, and the reason these three gifts are named is for a very specific reason. They're highly symbolic gifts. Gold, the gift for a king, and frankincense, the gift for a god. Even to this day, in this morning's Mass, we burn incense to God as the symbol of our prayers. And we burn frankincense here, by the way. If you wanted to know, the type of incense we use here in our parish is, in fact, frankincense that we still burn to God. And then the gift of myrrh. Myrrh, that spice that was used to make the anointing oil for the dying, for the dead and dying. So these gifts are symbolic that this Christ, this anointed one who is born in Bethlehem, is the King of Kings. And he is also God, but he is also mortal, and he is going to die for our sins. So these gifts teach us that wonderful lesson. But what does Epiphany mean to me, to us? Is it just some historical event that we celebrate each year like we celebrate so many historical events? Or does it have a real purpose in our life? Is it a step in our own pathway to God? What is Epiphany? What does it mean to us? And two points come to mind. First, God is hidden. And for us to see him, we must see him in faith. Blaise Pascal once said that in faith, there is enough light to reveal God to those who seek him, and there are enough shadows to blind those who do not. You know, there is we watch a sunset. We had some beautiful sunsets last week. I don't know if y'all were watching, but there were some beautiful sunsets. And people of faith, we look at the sunset and we say, thank you, God, for this beauty that you have enabled us to see and to participate in. This is gorgeous. Thank you, God, for this. But those who are not of faith, they look at the sunset and they say, well, there's a lot of dust in the air tonight. Have you seen, who here has seen the movie The Life of Pi? A few of you have, not very many. It's a movie about belief in God, right? And they keep saying this over and over again. This movie is about belief in God. And when you watch the movie, it's very confusing. It is the tale of two accounts of the same event. And one of the tales, one of the stories, is full of wonder and awe and mystery. And it's an amazing story. And the other story is mundane, unexciting. You know, it's just a sad story. And in the movie, they ask this question, which is the better story? Which is the better way to go through life? pursuing God in faith and seeing Him in all things, seeing His hand in our lives, in creating wonder and majesty and awe for us. Or to go through our life being mundane, without purpose or meaning. You know, we may think, well, why doesn't God just write across the sky every morning, "Good morning, I'm God. You can thank me for the sunrise later." Well, in a sense, He does, if we see it in faith. But God is always hidden. Why is God hidden? Because God is love. When you love someone, you don't do things for them out of a desire for recognition. You do things for them out of the sheer joy of being able to express your love to them. So God, who is love, is always hidden. He is always expressing His love, not trying to get your recognition, but because He loves you and He gives all things to you. The second thing about Epiphany is that we can be, we should be, that epiphany for others. Because those who do not find God in faith, they need someone to guide them. They need someone to make God known to them, to reveal God, to manifest God to them. And that's what we do in our lives. As we share the love of God that God has planted in us with others, we share the joy that we have from the experience of God in our lives. We share that joy with others. We become the epiphany for others. In fact, we become sacramentals. We become that flesh and bone through which men can find God, can learn how to pray, can learn how to reach out to God in faith. And the love and joy that we share with them, you know, the more that we give our love and joy to others, it doesn't diminish the love and joy in us. It increases it. It becomes more love and more joy and more power and strength in our own lives as we become that sacramental through which people can find God. And as we lead those people we love, our families, our friends, the people we work with, our neighbors, even our enemies whom God calls us to love as well, as we lead them to God, then the love and the joy God has given us flowers and grows into a beautiful blessing for all the world.